Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to.
Why don't you stand to your feet and give the Lord a mighty shout of praise? Hallelujah. It's 31st. Hallelujah. Are you grateful to God you are alive? You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And one of the things that have characterized this year has been the escapes we've experienced. Amen. God has delivered us many times on countless occasions from near-death experiences. Amen. And today we want to give God the glory for keeping us alive, for preserving our lives. Amen. The Bible says that by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. How many of you have been preserved this year? The fact that you are here is a sign that you've been preserved. Amen. So our first testimony today, we want to call on our brother Winston Corte. Yeah. Winston says if he's not in a coffin today, it's because the Lord has preserved him and he's testifying to God. Put your hands together for him. How did God save you, Winston?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I would like to thank God for delivering my life and keeping me till today. 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. On my way back from the business community cocktail, I was driving back home, and mostly my commute, I come from East Legon to the motorway and then to Osun. And just when I got to the exit, the motorway runabout leading into Tema, my car suddenly lost control.
Your car lost control?
Suddenly lost control.
And what happened?
I had a fuel tanker just on my right, and there was a ditch on my left. And I was trying to steer the car into my lane. I tried to keep it into my lane, but it kept steering towards the left. And it entered a ditch.
Car entered a ditch.
In the motorway.
But there was a fuel tanker to your left.
Yes.
There was another car to your right.
Yes, please.
You were trying to stay in your lane, but you couldn't.
I couldn't. I just couldn't.
Your car entered into a ditch.
On my left.
And what happened?
I lost consciousness for some minutes. And I mean, when I gained consciousness, I realized people had come around me. They were trying to take me out of the car. And I can only say it's by the grace of God I'm here.
It's by the grace of God. So did you sustain any injuries?
Yes. I sustained a minor back injury, but I could have died.
You could have died.
I could have died.
You sustained a minor back injuries. Why don't you put your hands together for God? Why don't you give God a proper shout of praise? Winston is still alive because of the grace of God. He said there was a fuel tanker to his left and there was another car to his right. And he wanted to force the car to come to a stop, but he couldn't. So he had to enter a ditch. And he just sustained a few injuries. How many of you realize that a few injuries is better than to be found in a coffin? I realize that it's a blessing that he's here today. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise?
Amen.
So Winston, what do you have to say?
I would like to encourage everyone to believe in the prophecies and the testimony of our father, the prophet Bishop Dykewood Mills. I cannot mention the number of times he has proclaimed divine escapes time and time and time and time again. I could have ended up anywhere. I could have ended up in a building. I could have ended up in the toll booth. I could have ended up anywhere, but it's just by the prophecies.
Oh, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus and put your hands together for a powerful testimony? Your life will be preserved this year in Jesus' name. You will not be buried in the coming year in the mighty name of Jesus, according to the prophecies. Let's put our hands together for our sister, Lady Pastor Annie Sarah, as she testifies of what God did for her. Oh, give it up for her. Wow. And you say your life has been preserved this year. Tell us about it.
I want to give God all the glory for preserving my life this year. A few months ago, there was a gas explosion at Atomic Junction. And I was in that area. But nothing bad happened to me.
Nothing bad happened
to me. Nothing bad happened
to me. How did you escape?
So I was on outreach at Firestone, and then I was planning to move to the other side, that is North Legon, and I was planning to use Atomic Junction. But then I received a phone call, and the person told me that there had been a gas explosion at Atomic Junction, so I should stay in the hostel and I shouldn't move to North Legon. So I decided to stay, and then somebody just rushed into the hostel, and the person said there had been an explosion and that we should all rush out of the hostel. And when we rushed out, we saw the whole sky. It was lit red like this, and we could see fumes. It was so bad. It was nothing that we had ever seen in our lives. And so we started running. We didn't know where we were going. We ended up at Adenta.
From Atomic Junction. You yes, ended up at Adenta.
Adenta.
It was you ran to.
With wow. My sheep. I was running with them, and we ended up at Adenta. But I want to thank God that He preserved my life. Anything could have happened to me that day. Anything could have happened to me. And I was so scared at that point in time. But I remember the prophecies of our father. I'd been listening to the Good Friday message. And then in that message, Daddy said that God is giving you life and extending your days. You shall not die this year, because God has so many things for you to do this year. And I was so comforted, and I knew that any child of Bishop Dag will not be, nothing bad will happen to any child of Bishop Dag.
Oh, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 20 verse 7, God had to point out to Abimelech that the man Abraham is a prophet, and because of his prayers, you will live, you will not die. He told him that he is a prophet. He will pray for you and you will live. That is exactly what happened. He is a prophet. He will pray for you and you shall live. He is a prophet. He shall pray for you and you shall live. Next year you will live in Jesus' name. You will not die in Jesus' name. The prayers will preserve your life in the name of Jesus. Oh, why don't you put your hands together for a powerful testimony? Hallelujah. And our final testimony, I'm going to read it out. The brother who was supposed to share is on his way. He's not yet here, so I'm going to read it for him. He said, I thank God that I'm seeing this beautiful morning. Yesterday night, I returned quite late from my usual church activities. On reaching home, my key to the door couldn't open. I started feeling nervous because it was late, and I knew I was being followed by somebody. Within a short space of a time, I heard a gunshot towards my direction. I felt this hot sensation on my left hand, quite unbearable. I briskly ran for refuge into the nearby street, and I yelled for an auntie who lives next door to come and open the main door for me. When I got to my room and I assessed my body, I noticed I sustained a scratch from the bullet. I woke up this morning to find the bullet outside the main door. God had delivered me from a sudden death, and I'm grateful. The surprising thing is that the people who were following me did not run after me into the streets. They didn't pursue me. They didn't come after me. And I'm alive today on the 31st of December 2017. All to the glory of God. And I want to give God a praise. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? That is the bullet on the screen. That is the bullet on the screen. He said, when he woke up and he went back to the door and he checked, he found the bullet, and the bullet had marked the door, and he sustained a scratch on his arm. The bullet could have gone right through him, and if it had gone through him, that would have been the end. But he's alive and he's well today because of God and because of the prayers and the prophecies that have gone ahead of us. I'm excited that tonight, I said I'm excited that tonight, at the 31st watch night service, the prophet will be in the house and he'll be praying for us, and the prayers are going to preserve you. Hallelujah. You see, whenever there is a mass entry, whenever there is an exodus, some people make a fatal mistake. There were two groups that were going to cross the Red Sea. Now, Pharaoh and his armies were crossing without a prophet, but the Israelites had a prophet. I said the Israelites had a prophet. Are you not grateful God has raised a prophet for us today? Your life will be preserved in the coming year. You will not be buried in the coming year. put your hands together for powerful testimonies.
Parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Oh yeah. And the sower is the preacher and the teacher. He comes to sow the word of God in your life every day. Of God, get ready to receive the word. Whoa, 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 yeah. Open your heart and take it all in. Decide to be a fertile ground, receiving the word. That's the only way you will be. Don't wanna be your wayside ground. I don't wanna be a thorny ground. I don't wanna be a stormy ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very good ground. I don't wanna be your wayside ground. And I wanna be a thorny ground. I don't wanna be a stormy ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very, very good ground. I sat by a young girl in the house of God. She was on a phone, texting with her friends. She was not interested with the word of God. Chatting with her friends instead of listening to the words. She didn't understand anything that day. That's when I knew the seed had fallen on the wayside. I don't wanna be a wayside ground. I don't wanna be a thorny ground. I don't wanna be a stormy ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very good ground. 'Cause I don't wanna be a wayside ground. Wanna be a thorny ground. I don't wanna be a stormy ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very, very good ground. Whoa. One day I sat at the back of the church, right beside a guy who had a stony heart. He was not interested, oh no, with the word of God. He would not smile, he would not laugh, he would not even say amen. He showed no sign of being moved by the word. That's when I knew I was sitting by a stony ground. I don't wanna be a wayside ground. I don't wanna be a thorny ground. I don't wanna be a very, very good ground. Oh. One day I sat behind three young men in the church. They had something to say about everything. They said the preacher didn't know the word. They said he didn't know the word. His messages did not make sense. They criticized him throughout the preaching. That's when I knew the seed had fallen among the thorns. I don't wanna be a wayside ground. I don't wanna be a thorny ground. I don't wanna be a stony ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very good ground. 'Cause I don't wanna be a the sower of the seed. Jesus comes to you each and every day. What kind of hearts do you have to receive the word of God? Are you a stony ground, a thorny ground, or a wayside ground? I know you will be a good ground and bring forth fruit a hundredfold. I don't wanna be a wayside ground. I don't wanna be a thorny ground. And I don't wanna be a stony ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very good ground. 'Cause I don't wanna be a wayside ground. I don't wanna be a thorny ground. And I don't wanna be a stony ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very good ground. Do you wanna be a wayside ground?
Whoa, Rise up in the spirit, get stronger every day, focusing on the inner man. I wanna be a strong Christian who loves the Lord with all. Oh yeah, I wanna be a strong Christian, serving the Lord with all my heart. Hey brother, you are compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every sin and weight that easily beset you, and run the race that is set before you. Rise up in the spirit, get stronger every day, focusing on the inner man. I wanna be a strong Christian who loves the Lord with all her heart. Oh yeah, I wanna be a strong Christian, serving the Lord with all my heart. Brother, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down at the right hand of God. Rise up in the spirit, get stronger every day, focusing on the inner man. Don't you wanna be a strong Christian who loves the Lord with all her heart? Oh yeah, I really wanna be a strong Christian, serving the Lord with all my heart. Be a strong Christian who loves the Lord with all her heart. Oh yeah, I wanna be a strong Christian, serving the Lord with all my heart. Ooh.
Hallelujah. Are you becoming a strong Christian? Well, we've come to the most important part of this service. And it's been a great year. Year of miracles, a year of prophecy, a year of the power of God. This year, God has led us from strength to strength in so many different areas. And the Lord has used the prophet mightily amongst us. And this morning is my privilege and my honor for the final time in 2017 to welcome to the stage the prophet, my father, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. For one more time in 2017, we are about to experience the power of God. We are about to experience
God. opportunity. Bless us. Minister to our hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Beautiful. Beautiful. 2017 is ending. And whatever is harassing you in 2017 is ending with 2017.
I receive it.
Amen. Hallelujah. You are going out of 2017 victoriously.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as this year ends, your enemies that felt that they have held on to you,
hey,
never let you go, you are being set free in Jesus.
I receive it.
Your long-awaited new things and good things, I see them just a few hours away in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. And you may be seated. Now, this morning, you know, we are coming to church twice today. So, we are going a little faster this morning so that we can go and come back in time. Amen. Our evening service starts at 9. And we are going till the morning. Because, you know, transport and all that kind of thing, it's better to just be here. But after you've been prayed for, if you really want to go, you can. But we are going to be happy here. Amen. So make sure you are here on time. Amen. Now, the 10 commandments of salvation are what I want to share with you today. 10 commandments of salvation. Hebrews 6 and verse 9 says, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. So, there are things that are expected of someone who is saved. God expects certain things from you, things that accompany salvation. So if you are saved, right, there are some things that accompany salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Titus chapter 2, the 10 commandments of salvation. For the grace of God, that in verse 11, that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. All right? Now, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. Now, verse 11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It's come. Number two, it's saying immediately after that, that this grace and this salvation has taught us that number one, the first commandment of salvation is denying ungodliness. Denying ungodliness. So you must deny or say no to ungodliness. Amen. So all things that are ungodly in life, not godly, you must say no to them. Ungodly behavior and ungodly ways, you must set aside. So, you know, one time I met a white man, and he asked me where I came from. I said, I come from Africa. And I asked him whether he believed in God. He said, no, he does not. And then he said, I was talking to him about Jesus, and he said, look, in Africa, in Ghana, in Nigeria, there are so many churches, and you guys are always going to church, but we don't see much change. Isn't it true? Yes. We don't see much change in the people and in the lives of the people. True or not true? So, you see, Christianity is supposed to matter. The fact that we are Christians is supposed to matter. You know, that you know, he's a Christian. You know? But unfortunately, people don't realize that there are things that accompany, Hebrews 6 verse 9, things that accompany salvation. Look at it there. Things that accompany our salvation. So that itself is not your salvation, but it goes along with salvation. Okay? So in Titus chapter 2, and verse 11 and then verse 12, he says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. So salvation has come. Now, what is the salvation teaching us? It's teaching us that we should deny ungodly behaviors. All right? So there should be something about you that is godlike. Amen. And ungodly mannerisms and behavior should go away from you. Now, God is love. You know, one of the things that you can struggle to find among Christians is love. Yeah. You know, when I look at some of the people that have given, you know, the church have had, we have had problems, we've had people that have been obstacles, that have been hateful, really fighting the church, very unreasonable. Most of these people have been Christians. Yes. Most of them. Some pastors even. Yes, most of them. You know, most of them. So you ask yourself, what does a Christianity make any difference? You see, so the salvation has appeared, teaching us that we should deny ungodliness. So once Christ is named on you, there must be something godly about you. There must be Christian practices, love, forgiveness. God is love. So if you are here, you don't forgive. You don't forget about things. You don't have love. The worst wives worst are Christian wives. That's the worst, married to Christian husbands. Yeah, from what I've seen, worst. Yeah. That, I'm not telling you something from the Bible. I'm telling you what I've seen it. If you understand that one, what I've seen it before. Yeah. Worst, like Christian wives. Yes. Yeah. Why? Why would that be the case? Why would Christian wives be bad? Because when you are married to a Christian husband who will never leave you. No, he will not go. He can't go. And like it's not in his mind or his understanding that I can go anywhere. I mean, there's no going anywhere. He's there. Then you can do anything to him. Because you know whatever you do, he will never go. That's where you see bad behavior. You see it in Christian, not unbelievers. In unbelievers, you see the worst husbands. Are you with me? Yeah. You know, one time, I was looking at somebody, a Christian, and I was asking myself, is this a Christian who has a demon? Or is this a Christian with a bad character? Or is it an unbeliever with Christian traits? Or is it a witch who comes to church? Or is it a spirit-filled person who has a character defect? I was trying to find, what are we dealing with? Yes. What is it? So Christianity goes along with certain things. It's not just floating on its own. It says denying ungodliness. And when you meet a Christian, you must show. I said, when I talk about the people that have been negative to the church, you know, one time there was a certain guy. He was going to a church, born again charismatic church. And he was such a harassment. He was a problem, real problem. So, one day he did something that wasn't good. I had a meeting with him. And when he did that, I sent a message to through his bishop. I said, please tell this gentleman that I said thank you for what he has done to the church. And his bishop said to me, I will not send a message. Because that message is a curse. So, Christianity includes denying ungodliness. Number two, second commandment. Deny worldly lusts. Why are you shouting at me? Worldly lusts. Commandment number two. So now that you are born again, worldly lusts. Now what is lust? Lusts are animal desires. Yes. How many have animal desires? Those at the back don't have animal desires. Okay, those of us who have animal desires, let's raise our hands. I'll pray for us all. I'm seeing more hands. Animal desires to sleep, to eat, to have sex. And what other animal desires are there? Yes. To give birth. To marry and to give birth even. But animal desires. You have to control your animal desires. All the young people, are you here? Yeah. Some of you girls, you have more lust than boys. Which is unusual. We should have been lusting after you, but you are now lusting after us. We don't even know what to do. Like it has exchanged, we've exchanged now. You have born again brothers who are being harassed by sisters. I mean, virtually proposing and offering yourself as an offering.
Tell us, Papa.
Hey! You are giving scholarships to people. You are giving free scholarship, 1 month scholarship, 3 weeks scholarship, 2 weeks. I want to say to young girls, control your desire for boys. Tell to the nearest sister and say, look, control yourself. Control yourself. Did you see the girl in the film? The guy started to ask a question. Will you? And then she heard, will you marry me? The guy has not asked whether you marry her. How? Will you come to church? You have heard, will you marry me? It was so embarrassing. Everything sounds like a proposal. Nobody can just be a normal friend. We can't just have normal friends and just be flowing in the system. You can't drop anybody. You can't buy anybody food. You can't send credit to anybody. You can't smile. You can't smile at people. You can, because it means something.
I receive it. Bring it on, Papa.
As we go out of 2017,
Professor,
pornography is going out of your life.
I receive it.
As we go out of 2017,
Professor,
masturbation is going out of your life.
I receive it.
As we go out of 2017, what else is going away? Fornication is going out of your life.
I receive it.
As we go out of 2017,
yes.
Homosexuality is going out of your life.
I receive it.
Turn to the nearest brother and say, you cannot be a homosexual. And sister, you cannot. You cannot. It's not possible. It cannot happen. No. Be healed of it in Jesus' name. Be healed of it. Listen. I'm speaking about homosexuality. When you meet a homosexual, he will tell you, here is a girl, here is a boy. I feel attraction to the boy. And this is a beautiful girl, but I don't like her. So it's a desire. Yes. It's one of the animal desires, and especially if you tamper with your desires are something special that God has given. If you tamper with it, it alters, and it's altered. Yes, if you tamper with it, that's why in certain places, if you do that to a child, you will go to prison. Yes, because you are tampering with the human being, the body, and the person is altered. You must rather feel for people who have that problem, because it's an additional problem. It's not even an additional, it's worse. You wish that they would rather fornicate. So, please, why don't you try fornication? Try fornication. This is better. I mean, try fornication. No, serious. If you see it, you will want to say, try this one also. See that it's not bad at all. Kata shaka.
I receive it.
You are delivered. As soon as we cross out of 2017,
yes,
that's it. You are out.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
I receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
Sit down. Commandment number 3. Live soberly. Soberly. Now, sober speaks of not being under the influence of something. Yes, sober. I'm sober. I'm drunk. I'm sober. Now, everybody here must be under the influence of God and His word. Period. Nobody in your life should pull strings. Push and pull. When you are controlled by somebody, it is witchcraft. Okay? When you are captured by somebody, it is witchcraft. Witchcraft, when they say you are bewitched, you are under a power. And that power is not God's power. That's why we call it witchcraft. So witchcraft in Galatians is a work of the flesh. It's something people do. People actually control you. So you must be a free person. Being controlled by God. So no particular human being should exert more than the control or the influence that they are supposed to. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes. So, you ask yourself, what is controlling you? If there is a girl, because of whom your mind is not working clearly, you are not, you see, because when you are caught driving and drinking, it's like, it means that your mind will not be taking the right decisions. When you see a car coming, you feel it's a little far. So you go near, your decisions are wrong. It's because of what you've drank. So a girl can make you take wrong decisions. It's like your mind is not clear to clearly do what is right. Or a boy can also do that. Instead of freely moving on and doing what somebody is making you, that's why they say love is blind, or even love is like, you don't even know why the person is behaving like this. And since you met this person, you are not normal.
I receive it. Help us, prophet.
You were a friendly person and flowing. You are no more flowing around, and you are no more friendly since you have this friendship. You are under an influence. Anybody you are in a relationship with, you are no more free. As we end this year, end that relationship. End the relationship this year. Yes.
Amen.
You are no more free, no more happy, no more relating with people, no more talking. It's not a good relationship. It's a prison officer relationship. One sister that you've befriended, she has commanded all other friends out of your life. They can't call you. Nobody can chat with you. Nobody can be happy. Nobody can. Oh. I met a politician one time at the airport. And I was greeting him. He said, "Hi, Osofo, how are you?" And I forgot what I asked him. But you know what he said to me? He said, "Oh, we are politicians, so we say what is politically right. You have to say the word of God. But we just say what is politically right, not what is true." So it's like if you belong to this party and this other party is doing something, even if it's good, you have to say it's bad. The party line. What is politically correct? So you find few politicians are able to be Christians and stand for, I believe in this. I believe in God. This is my religion. And our brothers on the other side, they are more clear that this is my religion. This is what I stand for. I mean, there's no question. But Christians, you don't find them doing that. So, nothing should be able to influence you. You know, one time I was dealing with a youth organizer of a certain party whose name begins with N. I said the party's name begins with N. You can choose any of the parties. In a certain country whose name begins with a G. When the negotiations got to a point, he told me, Bishop, it now affects my job. So I cannot help the church. And he withdrew. I haven't seen him again up till today. He withdrew and joined the people that fought and broke our walls. A certain party whose name begins with N. And a youth organizer. I've not seen him again. But he was a born again Christian. He got to a Holy Spirit charismatic church. He said, where we've reached, it will take my job or the church. And I have to choose my job. I never saw him again. So there cannot be something that takes over your life and takes you and controls you. Sometimes when you speak to politicians, you wonder whether the person has gone mad. You can't believe it. To take 1,500 Ghanaians to South Africa to go and watch World Cup in a hotel, they watch it in the hotel, like they watch it on TV. No, don't talk. Wait, listen, I'm explaining something to you. So take 1,500 people. Not that they say, I met them at the airport. They were coming. I met all of them. To go and watch World Cup on a screen, not in the stadium. They didn't have tickets to go into the stadium. To fly where Germany will not send even 20 people. No country will send. But we, and you have people, they will explain it. They will explain it. When you knew them in normal life, and you realize that they've come under a certain influence that has overwhelmed them and overshadowed every even thoughts that they have. Yes. I met somebody who's a born-again Christian, and the person was now promoting homosexuality through politics. And I asked her, I said, is that what you want your children to? Are you not a Christian? But it's like as if their minds are, that's what the Bible says, live soberly. Don't let anything overshadow your life. That it is now controlling you and making you make judgments which are completely out of place. That's what it means to live soberly. Nothing controls you, nothing influences. Money shouldn't influence you. Money, if money becomes your God, you change. So commandment number 3 is what? Live soberly. Commandment number 4, live righteously. Are you there? Yes. Righteousness. So your life must be filled with righteousness. You must believe God to be a righteous person. What does it mean to be righteous? Righteous is to do what is right. Okay. Stealing. Now, do you understand why white people, sometimes they don't even believe in our God? Yeah. Where have more churches than Ghana and Nigeria? Where? One of the principal exports of Ghana is pastors. It's one of our exports, non-traditional exports. Pastors and churches. Oh, yes.
All over the world, you have Ghanaian pastors, prophets and pastors. Yes. We have more stealing. Do you think there will be a road in Ghana between Accra and Kumasi at the end of these 4 years? Your lifetime. Do you think water will run? Where are the roads? Where are the things? We have more of churches than Nigeria has the biggest churches. You see, but these things are supposed to accompany salvation. Hardly can you find a Nigerian who is not a Christian. Like, you need a Nigerian, any brother from Nigeria. He's speaking tongues. His family his father is maybe a pastor. We have so many Nigerians around in the church. You just look, turn to your left, you see a Nigerian. Are you not here? Where are you? Yeah. Yeah, everywhere. People who pray. Prophesy, bind, everything. And where is corruption more associated with than Nigeria and Ghana? Ghana and Nigeria. If you mention the word Ghana or Nigeria in certain places, you can say, "Oh, I pray." So yeah, we know you pray, but So you see, from today, in fact, as we go out of this year, your life is going to be associated with righteousness.
I receive it.
And I'll tell you one thing. One of the things that you have to learn that will change your life is to not lie. You know, lying is the beginning of the devil. Why? The Bible says the devil is the father of lies. So anywhere you see a lie, the father will be nearby. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? Like you, your father must be in Ghana. Isn't it true? Because you are sitting in Ghana. So the father of this person must be in this country, nearby. So when you see a lie standing there, say, oh, lie, your father is around, right? Oh, he's just outside. Yes, he's waiting. So the lie, the devil is a liar and the father of it. Anytime there are lies, the devil is there. So swerving, lying, stealing, cheating, 419, duping, it doesn't accompany salvation. If you are saved, these things must be out or you will not prosper. You have to learn it. These are things that you have to accept. You can't do anything and be a Christian. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't just live anyhow and be a Christian. You are not free in that sense. You can do whatever you want to do. Christianity includes pain. It includes suffering. It's not just being blessed and receiving prophecies of good things, but it includes this: denying ungodliness, denying worldly lusts, living soberly, living righteously. How many commands do you have? Five. Living godly. Godly. So it's the opposite of denying ungodliness. You must be godly. So this is a godly man. Hallelujah. Are you still there or you are leaving? Now, let us continue. The next one, let's read the scripture. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. That is commandment number 6. We have to look for the hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Looking for the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Christianity involves looking for Jesus to come. Expecting to see Jesus. Expecting Jesus Christ. So you can never be a real and a good Christian
until you are somebody who is looking for Jesus Christ, looking for the hope of Jesus coming. Yes. You know, do you know what is the rapture? How many have heard of the rapture? How many don't know what the rapture is? I'll tell you. Give me a wave. Don't know what the rapture is. The rapture is when Jesus comes, he appears in the sky, all men will see him, and we will all be caught up. You believe supernatural things? Yes. That's the rapture. That's the end of the world. That's the beginning of the end of the world. When we go out of this world, all the evils that have never happened before will happen. The pattern has always been God extracts his people, then unleashes the judgment. So like Lot and his family, his wife and his daughters were extracted from Sodom and Gomorrah, and then it was destroyed. Noah was taken, put in the ark, he was taken out, and then the world was flooded. That's the pattern of judgment. You extract the righteous and then destroy the rest. So we are supposed to look for the hope. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, I was so conscious of the rapture. And my friend told me, she said, there was this brother, and they went for fellowship, and she said to him, see you at the rapture. And he died. He died the next day or a couple of days after. Yes. Of asthma. Yeah. She was telling me how shocked they were. But she said, the last thing they said was, see you at the rapture. So I just became a Christian. I didn't know these people. But I was being told about all this. See you at the rapture. See you at the rapture. And it's like, we were all just expecting the rapture. And we know that we will see ourselves at the rapture. We'll see those who went ahead at the rapture. That is if we are alive when Jesus comes. So real Christianity involves looking for the hope that we are going to have in Jesus Christ. So we must all expect and hope for Jesus. And as you live your life, you know, a brother was fornicating one time. Whilst he was in the middle of the fornication, an omnibus came outside and blew the horn. And he jumped out of the fornication because he thought it was the trumpet of Jesus and that Jesus was coming. You know, we were very conscious of the rapture. But today, if people are fornicating and a bus comes to blow, you would rather continue doing what you are doing. You say a brass band is in town and they are disturbing you. But from today, you are going to be looking out for that blessed hope.
I receive it.
Maybe Jesus will come in 2018. Hey, are you ready? Wow. Jesus may come in 2018. You never know. I said, you never know.
Never know.
Amen. Now, verse 14. Commandment number 7. Who gave himself from us that he might redeem us from all iniquity? So commandment number 7 is get all iniquity out of you. So look at it, verse 14. He says, he gave himself for us, or he gave us salvation that he might save us from all iniquity. So all types of sin is possible for you to be redeemed from it. Never accept that you were born in any way. Yes, you are not born a liar. You are not born a thief. You are not born a homosexual. You are not born a fornicator. You are not born a loose person. You are not born a bad woman. No. Jesus came to redeem us. And commandment number 7 is, you are redeemed from all iniquity. John Wesley used to preach perfection. Yeah, that was one of the main doctrines of John Wesley. Perfection. He believed that it's possible to be perfect. Oh, yeah. He believed that it was possible to be perfect. I mean, that was John Wesley. I'm saying the founder of the Methodist Church. He believed that perfection was possible. Holiness. He had a holiness club. We are not forming holiness clubs. We are rather accepting iniquity. That, I'm the loose type. I'm the loose type of girl. This is my seventh boy. I've stopped counting the boys. I don't want to count again. I don't feel happy when I count. You are delivered from that.
I receive it.
Whatever type of iniquity.
Yes.
I am telling you, it is dropping off you in 2017.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
I receive it.
Now. Why? Because redeem. I like the word redeem. Redeem means buy. Buy. So if we were using the word properly, when you are going shopping, you say, I'm going redeeming. I'm going to the mall to redeem. Charlie, have you been redeeming for Christmas? Have you been for Christmas redeeming? Christmas redemption. No, I'm going to Accra Mall for redeeming. Yeah, that's what it means. It means to buy. So it means that it's not free and easy for you to come out of sin. But there has been a legal payment for you to be delivered from whatever wickedness the devil has decided to plaster on you. In Jesus' name.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
I receive it.
So from today, whatever, you see, you are so young, but already there are some things that look like they are plastered.
Hey, help us, prophet.
They look like it can never go out of your life. Look, you see that girl, the one on stage. It's almost as if a certain character cannot go out of her. Yeah. It's like a brother is trying to propose to her and she doesn't look natural. She doesn't look like she can flow. Sorry, yes. Yes, sorry, yes. I mean, I can't care. Any bad character, some of you, whatever is a bad character in you, it has been paid for that character to be taken out of you.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Never die with that character in
Jesus. I receive it.
Hallelujah. Let's go through the commandments because we are getting to the end. Number one, commandment number one. Denying ungodliness. Commandment number two. Denying worldly lust. Number three. Live soberly. Commandment number four. Live righteously. Commandment number five. Live godly. Commandment number six. Look for the blessed hope. Commandment number seven. Get all iniquity out of you. And commandment number eight. Become a pure person. That he might purify unto himself. Purify. Purify. I said purify unto himself. Shatalabasa.
I receive it.
Do you know that many people, I don't want to say many because I don't know, but prostitutes, huh? Have people that fall in love with them and marry them. Huh? Yes, a lot of prostitutes. The man comes as one of the customers. He pays 40 CDs, which is an expensive one. It's redeeming. And after that, He loves her and takes her home. I watched a film that the man bought the prostitute. Yes. And another man saw, he said, hey, all the men in this area all are missing you since you left your job. All are missing you. They've missed you, pal, because you are their favorite prostitute. Like when they come, it's you that they want. Now, you see, that's what God has done. He has taken a very a very general person who is some way, and then has purified you for himself. So when he comes home, it's like, this is my wonderful wife. This is my angel. This is my... Ah. Are you glad about what God has done for you? Now, if you are the prostitute that has been brought home, and you are on your WhatsApping some customers, some former customers. Mr. Jackson. Mr. Osei Kofi. Mr. Peter Lava. These are former clients. Is it nice? When a man has chosen you, after he slept with you once, twice, he said, no, I need you as my personal wife. Come and I'll give you children. Ah. And then you are descending back into wantonness. No. Tell your friend, Charlie, we've been purified. So we can't go back. I'm not going back. Are you going back? Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Commandment number 9. Become a peculiar person. Wow. Purify unto himself what? A peculiar people. These are all for salvation. We are just reading from verse 11 to verse 14. Grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, special. Now, if you don't like being odd, resign from Christianity. To be a Christian is to be as odd as it is to be a Jew. Yes. Jews are our fathers in serving Jehovah. They were Jehovah's people, and then we came along. They don't like it, by the way. Like, they can't even believe that we will be added on. When you go to Israel, you see, a name you never find in Israel is Paul. Nobody's called Paul in Israel. Yeah, because Paul is the one who taught how Jews, Christianity is Jewish. It's like we are grafted. They don't like him at all. He's not popular at all in Israel. Yes, never. You don't see a Jew called Paul. You see David, you see Isaac, you see everybody, but you never see Paul. It's very, very unwanted. Now, to be a Jew, you wear a hat. When we go to Israel, they will give you the little...
I receive it.
How many are going to Israel in 2018? I'm going to take some people from here, 2018.
I receive it.
We are going to Israel, in Jesus' name. Yes. They give you this thing to wear on your head. They have a hat. They have a beard. They have areas that they stay in. They are always different. They have their own schools. It's to be a Christian, to be a Jew is to be odd. That's why after 2,000 years, they still have their nation. If you were to scatter Gans all over the world or scatter Ashantis, it's not likely that in 2,000 years you will find us. We'll be lost. But the Jews didn't get lost. God has a Sabbath, that is Saturday, don't work. My wife worked for some Jews. They told her, you turn on the light on Friday. You're not allowed to turn it on or off. To put on the light is to work. So you put it on Friday evening. The Sabbath starts Friday evening. You put it on. And the lift also. What do they do in the lift? Automatic lift. So you just stop. You can't press for this. Sabbath lift, it stops on every floor, like first, second, third, fourth. So you don't work, you just stand. Like, I mean, tell you, it is literal. The law firms, they work on Sundays. They don't work on Saturdays. To be a Jew is to be odd. To be a Christian is to be odd. And also, peculiarly prosperous as well. Yes. But you see, it goes with the peculiarities of being odd in life. Goes with the peculiarities of being odd in prosperity. Yes, it goes together. If you don't want to be odd, so why are you still a virgin? You're getting mad. So, a man, partner, you're a virgin. Oh, how? To be a Christian is to be odd. You don't drink. Oh, how? You know, you know, booze. You know, good. You don't smoke. You don't smoke so small. Jot, Charlie, I make you try. Not even something small. To be a Christian is to be odd. I will tell you again and again and again. If you don't want to be odd, resign. Bring your paper out. Take your resignation now. Find your neighbor and see if he's resigning. You have to leave Christianity now if you don't want to be odd. To be a Christian is to be odd. You want to accept it or not? If you accept it, so you don't listen to this music, I don't listen to such music. You don't read this book, I don't read it. You don't watch this, I don't watch. You don't have this, I don't have. You don't have a man who sponsors you, I don't have. Peculiar. You speak in tongues, parabola. Yes, I speak in tongues. You go to this church. Yes, I go to this church. Excuse me, that's my church. You go to church all day. Yes, I go to church all day. And you do what you do all day. Don't draw me out this morning. I said, don't draw me out. Allow yourself to be odd. Yes, that's all that God wants. He purified himself an odd group. I've always been odd. Oh, you don't have this. You've not had this before. You've not done this before. You don't do this. You don't do that. Why? So medical school, I was odd. My room was full of instruments. I'm carrying instruments to church. I'm singing. I'm clapping. Odd. I'm preaching in the odd. When I was in the bus, they took condoms, you know, the rest of the students. They take condoms and they blew them into balloons and they were sending it through the bus. It's like balloons. Then I stood up to preach. You should have seen that they look out of the bus. They don't look at me. They look somewhere. It's like they can't hear what I'm talking about. They are studying. They are reading their book. I'm disturbing. Yes, that is just so odd. I started a church. I look odd. Oddness goes with the oddness of prosperity. And I've peculiarly also prospered. Oh, yes. Yes, practically. You don't want to be odd? You leave now. As soon as we close, you see me. Bring your paper. Hey, is this paper? Are you signing your resignation letter? Bring the book. Let's see. This guy was trying to resign from Christianity. This guy is trying to resign. Hey, come. Are you resigning? I can't even say. I need my glasses.
I'm not resigning.
You are not resigning.
Never.
Check whether he's resigning.
No, I think he's writing to be peculiar.
He's writing what it means to be peculiar. It's a bad time to be writing peculiar when people are writing resignation letters. Look. All the dresses are showing certain things. All the dresses are too short. So it's like, why are your dresses? My dresses are long. Most of the new dresses are actually blouses. You have to wear with trousers. You can't wear it. You don't want to be odd. You don't want to be odd. Accept to be. That's how Jews are. Accept to be. All Jews relate with Jews. Yes, they know themselves. Yes. And they are, you know, for all the nations which are nuclear powers, it's one of them. They've accepted it openly now. They are one of the three or four nations that have sent satellites into the space. One to America, Russia, China, Israel. That's it. Very powerful. Very prosperous. Yeah. It goes with it. Oddness and oddness of being blessed in a very strange way. Jews pay tithes. You want to know tithers? If you read my book on tithing, you see the chapter about the Jews. $4 billion at that time, $4 billion to their synagogue, to their rabbi. Not to charities, to the synagogue. $4 billion a year in just in America. Billion. Jews. A small group, very small group. We believe in tithing. Yeah. Very odd. And that oddity is what God is trying to make you, an odd lady. You know, yesterday, one of our little daughters got married. I don't know, I don't even see her, where she is. I'm sure she's around. And I said to her, you know, she has been since she was in medical school. She's been in the J Church. She's been from a J Church. But you know, when she was in medical school, I used to have camps. I told her, and I was just talking to just the two of them, but more to her. I said, you see, I asked her, your mates are here. She said, yeah. I said, when you were going for camps, they were even noting them, persecuting them. You're going for a camp, eh? I'm not serious. Where is she? This one, they've gone for camp. So you go for camp. And God has given you an A1, the type of person you can misbehave with. That type of Christian has the type who will never leave. Whatever you do, he will be there like that. Hey! But I told her, you see now God has, you see what God has done for you. It's not just medical school. You are a doctor. Yeah. But now you see God has done for you. You were odd. You were odd for so many years. It's like, hey, Bishop, whatever's people, he's always having meeting with them. He's always in church. They are doing this and as if you are not in a school. Not a school, they finish with everybody. But you have to be odd. Accept it. And accept the odd blessings. You will even get a brother. You see the brother, he's almost dying out of life. Will you get somebody to be dying over you like that? Oh, Napo. Kata shata.
I receive it.
Accept to be peculiar. In business, in politics, in everything. Just accept an odd. There is apport in schools. I don't do apport. Take it from me. If you don't do apport, you will rather do well in school. All this cheating. To write. That's why you don't understand. Those who do the apport, I don't want to mention the regions. There are some regions of Ghana which are high apport and they're apostolic and they are very low results. I'll not mention their names. Shall I mention their names? Commandment number 10. Wow. Become a person of zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. So that's the 10th commandment. So these are all that is expected of you. Good works. Amen? Good works. And in 2018, you're going to do even more good works.
I receive it.
Yes. Why does God want you to do good works? Serving God is your deliverance from your enemy. Yes. Doing something good instead of sitting there is your master key to being delivered from the enemy. It's your master key. Why? You cannot serve God or mammon. You see, in other words, you cannot serve God and serve something else, including your enemy.
You can't serve God and serve your enemy. When you serve God, say your enemy is forced to, you can't serve your enemy too. Yes. Look, zealous of good works. Zealous of what? Good works. What did Moses tell Pharaoh? Let my people go that they may serve me. You see, to be free from Pharaoh is to serve God. Serving God sets you free. So that's why Pharaoh said, no, we'll not let you go and serve. Because you'll be free from me. So you are free from all the demonic harassments and entanglement when you start serving God. Let my people go that they may serve. Let my people go that they may serve me. Being let go to serve God is being let away from what captures you and puts you in bondage. Every step I've taken into serving God has set me free. It set me free from debt. It set me free from poverty. Poverty has been not able to catch me. Difficulty, financial, has not been able to catch me. Because serving God set you free from Pharaoh. Let my people go that they should serve me. Serving God is your master key to your deliverance, your freedom from whatever captures you. And there will never be a better way to set yourself free than to just give yourself to serve God. That's why Pharaoh said, no. You want to serve me? No. You want to serve me? No. You want to serve me? No. He knows. As soon as you start serving God, you can't serve another. You can't serve pornography. You can't serve a woman. You can't serve a man. You can't serve any bondage, any curse. You can't serve money. You can't serve. Since I serve God, I don't serve money. I don't do anything for money. There's nothing I do for money, for profit. No. You have set me free. It's your master key, zealous of good works. Yes. It's a commandment also. Once you have been saved, just do the good works. Don't sit there doing nothing. Give yourself to God. Yes, it will set you free. It accompanies salvation. It does. You can't serve God and anything else. And God is not only an idol. The Bible says some people, their belly is their God. So God can be anything, including your stomach. Yes. It's something you said. It says get up. It says go. It says tell a lie. It says say this. It says do this. Say do this. Bend down. Say this. Do this. Yield. Give up. It's your God. You can't serve two of them. I'm free because I chose to serve him. The deeper I went into God, the more I was delivered. The things that are holding people, poor people are working for now. It's I am like I've lived 4 lives over already. It's true. It's like I've lived 4 lives over already and I'm still on it. What they are searching for the first life and the second life and the third life and fourth life, I've seen all. And I'm still moving on. Somebody here is becoming a millionaire by serving God.
I receive it.
You are being set free.
Yes.
From money.
I receive it.
Money controlling you and guiding you by being a servant of God. Become zealous of good. And not just doing good works. Zealous like, hey, why are you paid by the church? Hey, why? I mean, it's a church for you. When nobody has asked you that question, you have never become zealous. Hey, why? Is it your church? Are you in love with the pastor? Why is that? Whatever. Hey, why? Until they ask you, start asking you such questions. You have not become zealous. When you are zealous, it irritates people. It really gets to people when you are zealous. One day, a brother came to me and said to me, you think you become what? You go to heaven by becoming a skeleton. God, I was so thin from fasting. I fasted all the time in those days.
I receive it.
Hey! Serving God has set me free. And not just serving God, but zealously. Zealous. I'm more radical and more radicalized. Yes. In my service for God. So I want to advise you. Till somebody ever asks you, why? Are you the only Christian? Is the church for your mother? Is the church for your father? What do you say? I must be about my father's business. They're asking Jesus, small boy like you, what do you want again? He says, I must be about my father's business. Allow. Bishop Oyedepo, he said, somebody was asking him when he was in school, why? What is it? He told his teacher, he said, teacher, calm down. He told the teacher, I am a full-time Christian and a part-time student. I'm full-time Christian. Full-time.
I receive it.
Calm down, teacher. I'm a full-time Christian. Tell somebody I'm becoming more zealous for good works. People are going to be amazed in 2018 at your zeal. They'll ask you something. You know, one of our bishops, he was working in England. One day somebody asked him, sir, are you a cab driver? At his office, they asked him. He was not a cab driver. But they asked him, are you a cab driver? Is there another job you are doing? Because with the way you are, it seems you are doing another job. Your mind does not seem to be here. What other job do you do? On Monday, you are very tired. On Friday, you are in a hurry to go. Full-time Christian and part-time worker of any job. I see you as a full-time Christian serving the Lord in 2018. Stand to your feet, everybody. Commandment. Let's go through. Put them on the screen for those who didn't write notes and those of you who resigned from Christianity. I don't know what I should even say for you. Check your neighbor's notes whether he has perchance resigned by any chance from Christianity. Huh? Are they resigning? Are you going to be a strong Christian?
Yes.
Commandment number one. Number two. Number three.
Live
soberly. Number four.
Live
righteously. Number five. Live godly, isn't it? Number six. Look for the blessed hope. Number seven. What? All iniquity out of you. You have been what? Redeemed, isn't it? Number eight. Become a peon, prostitute. Go and find a film where a prostitute was married by somebody and you look at the person and say, hey, this is me. I can show you a film like that. I've seen more than one. He said that the man really loved his new wife. He said, wow. Number nine. Peculiar. I think we should use another word, isn't it? Odd. Your dressing may be odd, no problem. Everything about you may be odd, no problem. Accept it. And what else does the oddity come with? Odd what? Odd prosperity. Yes. Shakataya.
I receive it.
And finally, the last one. Zealous of good. Do you like this scripture? Are you going to memorize it for 2018? From 11 to 14. Yes, Titus 2, 11 to 14. Okay? The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Wow. Beautiful. Every head bowed. Father, thank you for the blessing you give to us today. We love you. We're grateful. And we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. As every head is bowed, if you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to experience salvation, just lift your hand up and I'm going to pray with you as we come to the end of this service. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, you want to be saved. You want to be saved. You want to be saved. Come to me. Just come with your hand up like this. Come. Come to me.
Come on to Jesus.
God bless you.
Give him your life today.
Stand right here.
Come on to Jesus. Oh, let him have his way. Oh, come on to Jesus.
Come to Jesus. Up, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you, Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I open my heart. I receive Jesus as my master and my savior. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am born again. I'm a child of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Now, before you go back to your seat, I'm going to give you one of my books. All right? And I want to ask you, make sure as you have given your life to Jesus, you have received salvation. So we need to baptize you here. We baptize over here. Amen. And you need Jesus to be in your life practically. All the things I was preaching, you have to do them. Amen. So your life is changing from today. Amen. And as soon as we close, I want you to come to this corner on this side. And we are going to talk with you for just 2 minutes. Then you go back to the house. But tonight is 31st. That's why everybody is going to church. Amen. Everybody goes to, even bad, evil people go to church on 31st. So how much more Christians? But today is your day of salvation. Sister, amen. Your life is changing from now. All right. Listen to the prophetic voice. I'm speaking to you. God is speaking to you through me. He's telling you, your life is changing. This is your church. Come and be faithful. And we are going to be praying with you. And I'm giving the sign, even this book that I'm giving to you, is a sign that something new has come into your life from today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So when we close, come to this side and we are going to talk with you. Okay. God bless you. Thank you. You may go back to your seats. Take your seats, everybody. It's time for communion. We are not having communion tonight. Tonight, bring your anointing oil. I'm praying for everybody tonight, please. And brothers, sisters,
we are one and our lives have just begun. In the spirit, we are young
and we're table of the Lord, eat.
out together to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness a hundredfold, and will live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word, gather round the table of the Lord, eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Stand up, please. Now, Jesus came to this world to die on a cross for you and for me. Amen. How many of us know that Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have life? How many of you believe that you will cross 70 years? How many know that there are many things that don't allow people to get to 70 these days? More. Today's communion is taking you over 70. Why? Because this bread is about to impart to you life. Life means years. It means time. It means living. It means being alive. Hallelujah. Father, we declare new life comes as we receive this holy bread, the body of Jesus Christ. Whosoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, shall have life. We receive life, Zoe, practical life, physical life, eternal life, spiritual life. For you said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. May you cross over 70 years.
Receive it.
Whatever disease will cut off your life before the age of 70, by the power of this holy bread, you are crossing 70 years in the name
of Jesus. Receive it.
Whatever shortens existence, whether it is an accident, I curse that accident, it shall not come to pass. Whether it's a disease, I curse that disease in Jesus' name. It will never be diagnosed in your lifetime in Jesus' name. Receive health.
I receive it.
Receive healing.
I receive it.
Receive supernatural life.
I receive it.
By the Holy Communion.
Yes.
The power of this bread, the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this supernatural blessing. In the name of Jesus, the body of Jesus Christ. And now, whatever mistake you've made, whatever sin you've committed that attracts diseases, whatever sin you have already been involved with, whatever lie you've told that is attracting evil spirits to cut short your life, I lift up the blood and I say, the blood which washes us white as snow, white as wool, passes over you today. And when I see the blood, I shall pass over. Whatever curse is headed in your direction, it is blocked because of this blood.
I receive it.
Whatever diagnosis is headed in your direction because of this blood, it is canceled.
I receive it.
Receive new life.
I receive it.
I hear the word new life.
Hey.
Receive new life.
I receive it.
Receive new life.
I receive it.
The blood of Jesus Christ. You are crossing 70. You are crossing 70.
I receive it.
You are crossing 70.
I receive it.
Shoot over 70.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
I love the cross.
Oh, and I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was
laid. I will cherish.
Oh, I cherish the old rugged cross.
And receive your blessing. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Blessing for your children.
Yes, Lord.
Every one of us, Lord, are your little ones.
Yes.
Let the shepherd's mantle cover us.
Receive it.
Smear us, O Lord, with yes. your oil. Let no fly, let no demon,
yes.
let no lord of Beelzebub
yes.
attach himself to anybody here.
Receive it.
Because of the ointment and the oil and the grace of God. Thank you. Thank you for blessing for your children.
I receive it.
Thank you for strength for your children.
I receive it.
Thank you for power for your children.
Yes.
Receive a divine intervention.
I receive it.
Receive a divine intervention.
I receive.
I see an interception
Professor,
and intervention.
Yes.
In any bad thing that is happening in your life.
Yes.
Your long-awaited intervention has come now. I decree your release from all forms of captivity.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
I receive it.
As 2017 ends, I decree
yes.
and declare
yes.
that whatever has held onto your leg for the whole year, I curse that hand and I curse that chain. Jesus' name,
I receive it.
By the blood of the Lamb and the
yes.
power of the cross, you are declared free.
I receive it.
For freedom, Christ has set us free.
I receive it.
You are declared free.
I receive
in
it.
In Jesus' name. May your life radiate a newness from this moment onward.
I receive it.
May a new aroma come out of your life.
I receive it.
May something fresh and beautiful come out of your life.
I receive it.
May all the old things that must pass away in 2017. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are declared to be a blessed child of salvation.
I receive it.
Whatever commandments God has given,
hey.
You are able to do them.
I receive
and
it.
And you are doing all of them.
I receive it.
You are free by the power of
yes.
God. You are free from devils
I
by the power
it.
Of God. You are healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I declare you blessed.
Professor.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Yes.
And everybody shouted, Amen and Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God has blessed you powerfully. You know, by this communion, many of you, I saw you sliding over 70, over 70.
I receive it.
70, over 70, over 70. What a blessing. Not 70 years of uselessness, but zealous of good works for 70 years.
I receive it.
What a mighty blessing.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.